So this morning, I want us to actually think about an aspect of evangelism, and that is, why do we give Bibles away? Why should we use Scripture in evangelism? And if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. God's word says these things. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is God's word. Well, shall we just commit this time briefly to the Lord in prayer before we open up the scripture? Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you that you are the God who speaks, and that you give us your word via the scripture. Lord, speak to us now, we pray. Encourage us, equip us, and provoke us unto good work. But Lord, may we seek to glorify Jesus in all that we do. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, I want to begin by sharing a true story with you. Now, I have to preface it by saying it's a true story, because so many times preachers can tell a story that you sit there going, is that really true? Or did he just get in a book and find this story that fits his sermon? This is a true story. It's a true story about a friend of mine who, if you had known him many years ago, you'd say he was a complete and total bully. He was a ruffian. In fact, he's originally from Ireland, and the Irish have this reputation of being fighters. Well, he embodied the fighting Irish spirit. When he was old enough, he decided that he wanted to change his life. He didn't want to live in Ireland anymore, so he joined the British Army. Now, if you're Irish and joining the British Army, you're going to make a lot of enemies. But he joined the British Army, and in particular, he joined the Parachute Regiment, which is a part of the British Special Forces. These guys are rough, they are tough, they could kill you with a twig. That's how good they are. They know all the different tactics, all these different combat moves. And he did tours of Northern Ireland during the Troubles, which is really scary when you think about an Irishman with the paras, who are hated by the IRA, patrolling in territory that they said was theirs. Yet he would go do it and he enjoyed it. He loved the fighting spirit. He loved the violence of being in the army. And after serving with the paras for a while, he decided it was time for a change. So what he did is he left the army. And he had a particular set of skills. He could fight. He was very handy with his fists. So what sort of job do you get? Well, he became a debt collector for a drug dealer. Not a good debt collector. He would go around and get the money off the druggies who would not pay for their drugs. And he would tell you the stories about the fights he would get in and how he was feared because he was ex-Special Forces. But eventually he decided that wasn't the life for him, so he moved to Australia. And when he got to Australia, he met a nice girl, he married her, but still he was handy with his fists. He would beat his wife up, beat her into a pulp. Then his father-in-law would intervene and he would beat his father-in-law up as well. He was a violent man, and it got to the point where he was sick of living. He hated being this violent person. So he decided that he was going to end his own life. On the night before he was scheduled to commit suicide, he went and he stayed in a motel room, and he said there was nothing to do. But there was this book on his bedside table. It was a Gideon's Bible. He opened the Bible and he began to read it. And as he read the scripture, he became aware of his own sin. But then he became aware of who Christ is. And there in that motel room, only a few hours away from when he planned to end his life, he gained eternal life. He gained Christ. And now he's actually a pastor. So he's had this massive transformation. And I share that story not because it's just a wonderful story of God's grace working in someone's life, but because it illustrates perfectly what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy here in this passage we have before us this morning. You see, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "The scripture is what God has given to make a person wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." See, that's the truth Paul wants Timothy to grab a hold of, and it's the truth that God would want us to grab a hold of. The scripture makes a person wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul writes this to Timothy as a way of encouragement. Timothy was a young man. He was pastoring a church. And the culture at the time was not exactly friendly towards Christianity. Timothy would face opposition from within and also outside of the church. And in the midst of all that, as a young man, Timothy was ready to give up. So the Apostle Paul writes to him and brings him a word of encouragement. He brings him a word of affirmation. And he does that by bringing him back to the centrality of Scripture. Paul writes to Timothy and he doesn't say, look, just man up and deal with the hardships. No, he says, let me remind you of the Scripture. Let me remind you of the God who speaks and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which makes you wise for salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's encouragement. And you know what? If we look at Timothy's culture, we can actually see some similarities to ours. In many ways, it actually mirrors what we see in our society. Today, there is a culture around us that has set themselves against God. You turn the media on, Christians are always portrayed in a bad light. You read articles in the newspaper, you look at society, you even go to some educational institutions and you find that there's this bent against God and His Word. It's very much what Paul was writing to Timothy about. Now, of course, we don't face the physical persecution that Timothy faced, but we definitely face opposition because we love God's Word and we love the God the Scripture talks about. So Paul writes to Timothy and says, let me remind you, let me stress to you the importance of the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God, the means that God has chosen to bring people to Himself. See, that's what the Bible does. The Bible isn't just a book of religious stories. It's not a book that just gives us these grand moral ideas. No, the Scripture was given so that we might know the truth. The Bible is God's Word to us. It is the voice of God to humanity. We open the page of the Scripture and we come to realize our state before God, but we also realize His kindness and love that He shows towards us. That is why Paul can say, Timothy, you've known this for a long time. In fact, Timothy, you've known from infancy the Holy Scripture. Timothy, you're familiar with the Word of God. He grew up with the Scripture. We know from reading 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that this young man had grown up in a godly environment. His mother and his grandmother were faithful to teach him the Word of God. They taught him the truth, and as a result, he learnt who God is. He learnt about who he was from the sight of God, and he learnt about the wonderful grace that is found in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the function of God's Word. That's what it's designed to do. God's Word tells us what we look like in truth. I've heard it said the Bible doesn't actually say one single complimentary thing about us. It doesn't. It says that we've sinned. It says we've done wrong. But then it keeps pointing away from us and saying, yes, even though you have sinned, there's this Saviour who is altogether lovely. The Saviour who can rescue. That is why Paul could say in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Bible brings us to Jesus. The Scripture brought Timothy to saving faith. As Timothy opened up the Bible from infancy, he would have seen the law of God and he would have realized that he had sinned. He would have continued to read the Bible and discovered that he rightfully deserved judgment. As he read on in the Scriptures, he would have discovered that no amount of good deeds and efforts and works could ever merit forgiveness of sins. But then as Timothy continued to study the Scripture, a light would shine in the darkness. Hope would appear. The Saviour will come. The Saviour will come to rescue His people. The Saviour will do this by dying on the cross and rising again. And Timothy from infancy knew the Scripture that says, if you repent and trust in the Saviour, you'll be justified by faith. Timothy had the advantage of learning that his whole life. Yet we're not in that situation today, are we? If we were to go out into the streets and just survey the young people in our community, or in fact survey any person in our community, and ask them, did you grow up learning the Bible? You'll find the majority of them would say, no, I haven't. See, Timothy was blessed. He grew up with the scriptures. He grew up learning of Christ. Today, we've got to start when people have already developed their ideas. They've already got their opinions and their views of who God is. And it's not the God of the Bible. We have to come along with the scripture and say, let me introduce you to the only true God. Let me tell you about the one who made the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you about the one who is sovereign over all. The one who rules and reigns, the one who loves, but also the one who is just and holy and cannot look upon sin. Today, we haven't got the foundation of Scripture. In many homes, you will find that people don't even own a Bible. Now, I spent 2 years working as a missionary in the United Kingdom, a country that gave us so much of Christianity that we actually enjoy today in our land. Yet as you go and talk to people over there, you'll find that many people under the age of 30 have no idea who Jesus Christ is. But that's not just confined to the UK, it's true here also. Many people view the Bible as a book of mystery, a book of fable, a book of myth. And I think the reason they believe that is because they've never actually taken the scripture for themselves to read it, to test it, to see what God's word is. Says. Now it's truly sad when we live in a country where 70% of the people still profess to be Christian, yet many people in our communities have never read the Bible, have never even opened the Bible. Many people would think that Jesus is just a swear word and nothing more. They have no knowledge. So what's the solution to this? Well, the only way we can bring knowledge of the truth is to take the scripture to them again. Our heritage has been blessed mightily by having the word of God in our own language for many, many years. And as we look through our histories, we see that God worked mightily when people submitted to the word of God. Cultures were changed. People were changed. Yet today we don't want the Bible. We have no knowledge of scripture. So what do? We take the Bible to them. As Christians, I think we need to be working constantly and actively in distributing the scriptures amongst our community. We should be looking for opportunities to hand out copies of the Word of God, as it's the Word of God alone that reveals eternal life. It's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to convict people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to point people to the Lord Jesus. We must take the word of God and we must give it to people as it's God's voice to humanity. You know, as I prepared for this message, I thought, well, I'm speaking to a gathering of Lutherans, so I better try and find a good Lutheran quote on this. And I found some bloke called Martin Luther. I'm not sure how good he is. No, I'm not familiar with him either. But he said these words. He said, "Let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture." Listen to that statement. Let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. What great truth. If we want people in our society to come to know God, we must take the word of God to them, the voice of God to them, and say, read, hear him speak. And when people start to read the scripture, when people start to hear the word of God and apply the word of God, you will find that societies will be transformed. You will find that cultures will be changed. You would find that individuals will have their life dramatically changed. They'll go from being people who love sin to being lovers of God. People who are in rebellion to Christ being those who worship him. This is a good thing. So we must take the Bible to them. We must take the Word of God to them through any means possible, as the Bible will impact the lives of those who read it. I'm sure all of us who are Christians can say that just by reading the Scripture, our lives have been changed. Just by spending time in the Word of God, even in our own lives, we see God changing us and transforming us and conforming us into the image of Christ. As it says in this passage, the word of God was given so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God changes the believer to become more like Christ, but the word of God also changes the sinful heart and brings people to know the Savior. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see churches grow, if we want to see the nation change, then the solution's not going to be in political expression. The solution is found in returning to the Bible. Back to the Bible must be our battle cry. The Bible, the scripture, it must be central in all our evangelistic endeavors. It must be center in all our preaching and teaching. We must be Bible saturated. One of my heroes of the faith was the Baptist minister, C.H. Spurgeon. And it was said of Charles Spurgeon that if you had cut him, his blood would bleed Bible. That was how saturated he was in the Word of God. And you can see that if you ever read his sermon, it is just Scripture being expounded, Scripture being taught. And that's where the power is. That's why people get changed. That's why churches grow. That's why nations convert and nations transform. It's because of God's Word. To illustrate this, let me tell you a story about an outreach that we actually conduct each week. Part of our work at OAC is to go and declare the gospel, often in places where people may not want to hear it. I tell you what, that can be challenging at times. But we must be a light in the darkness. And one of those places we do outreach every Tuesday afternoon is in Woodridge in Logan. Now, if you're not familiar with Woodridge, let's just say it has one of the highest crime rates in Queensland. It's not exactly a friendly, social church environment. You know, it's not, you're not going to get people pat you on the back all the time saying, "Oh, wow, brother, bless you, I'll see you next week." No, we've been doing an outreach there for 4 years, every Tuesday afternoon. And when we first started, there was this lady who was in the local Aboriginal community. Now, the Aboriginal community, sadly, it would gather near where we do ministry, and they would just drink and get into fights. And there was this one lady who decided that she didn't want to fight with her people anymore. She wanted to come fight with us. So she'd come up to us, full as a boot, and say, "I hate you Christians, it's a white man's religion." And then she'd spit at us, she would shove us, she would try and punch us, she would try and steal whatever we had on us, and she was just generally hostile and violent. For years, this happened. And we saw no transformation. Yet we kept trying to be kind to her, kept trying to be polite to her, kept loving her and trying to reason with her with the scripture. Well, recently, we've seen God move. This lady who would often spit at us at every opportunity she has came up to us and said, "Excuse me, can I actually have a copy of the Bible?" And at first we thought, "Oh, she's just going to get it and rip it up in front of us. We know what she's like." We thought, you know, we just have to give it to her anyway. She took it. She's begun reading the scripture. And everything's changed. Now, instead of cursing us, she'll walk past and say, "God bless you." Now, instead of spitting at us, she'll come up and say, "Hey, I've got a prayer request. Can you pray for me?" That's really cool. She's got kids. And she now wants material so her kids can learn the scripture also. The Word of God transforms communities, it transforms individuals. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He applies it to our lives and makes us into new creations. We see that throughout the Scripture. We see the testimony of God working for His Word many times in the Bible. And that's the hope for our nation, that's the hope for our communities, is that the Word of God would be heard and it would be submitted to. In 2 Kings chapter 22, we see national transformation occur because of the Bible. King Josiah stumbles across the book of the law. He reads the book of the law and he is convicted and converted. But what's he then do? He tells it to the nation. And all the people change because of God's word. That's how God acted then. That's how I believe God still can act today. You see, our God is immutable. He is unchanging in who he is. He is still the loving God who delights in saving sinners. At one time, our nation followed after the scripture, but now we've turned our back upon it. Yet if we as a people would return to the scripture, if we would go back to the Bible, I'm convinced that God would bless this land once again. But it all begins by us as Christians taking the word of God to the people. See, God has ordained you and I with the purpose of making him known. He could have sent an angel from heaven to sing back and forth through the sky saying, "Read the Bible, turn to Christ." But he didn't. He could have put a big billboard up in the sky that everyone could see. But he didn't. God chose you and I as his people to communicate the truth to a lost world. God commissions us to go and declare him. And when we go, we don't declare our own fanciful ideas. We don't declare our own thoughts about God. No, we come to people with the scripture. And we say, you know what? This is true. This is God's book. This is God's word. Take and read. Listen to what God says. And when we do that, God will bless the work. So how do we do it? How do we get scripture into the hands of the people? How do we get the word of God into our community? Well, as I close, let me just quickly give you some ideas of how we can do this. It's well and good for me to stand here and say, do it, but how? How can we do it? Well, let me give you just a few simple ideas. Firstly, get something like this. This is a pocket-size Gospel of John. It's from the Pocket Testament League. And it quite simply is just the scripture. That's all it is. What you can do is go to the Pocket Testament League. You can contact them and say, look, I would like to get some pocket-sized Gospels of John. Take it with you wherever you go. And as you go through the day, pray for opportunities to give the scripture to someone. When you go to the doctors, maybe just leave the scripture sitting on the pile of magazines. Who knows? Someone might come in, pick up the Word of God and read it. As you talk to the girl at the checkout, you know, hey, I've got a little booklet here. It's the biography of Jesus, the Gospel of John. Are you interested? And offer it to people. And you know what? People will actually say, wow, I've never read the Bible. Thank you very much. We have seen teenagers who aren't interested in reading take one of these and read. And you talk to them a few weeks later and they're saying, hey, I'm up to that John chapter 16 bit and can you explain what's going on there? And it's incredible. The Word of God works. It's active. You can get those from the Pocket Testament League. Brilliant resource to have. Another way you can do outreach with giving away Bibles, and this is a good idea for churches, is to set up a literature table. Now what we do is we'll often get just a cheap table from Kmart. We will go out to a busy area such as a train station or a bus stop, and we'll set up our table. We have a little sign made up saying free Bible and literature. We'll have a pile of Bibles or Gospels, and we'll have other Christian materials, apologetic books or little, you know, dealing with the common questions and objections that people may have to the Christian faith. And we set it up. And guess what happens? You get lines of people coming up to the table going, oh, wow, free Bible? Well, I'll be in that. It's free and I've never read it before. And you'll find it a great opportunity to actually talk to people or even just to get literature into someone's hands. Each year we distribute hundreds of Bibles via this means. Young and old are encouraged to get the Word of God. They take it, they read it. And if you do this Bible table in the same spot regularly, guess what? Those people will start coming back, that same spot, to ask you questions. So it's a great idea for churches to be in the community. It's a non-confrontational approach to put the Bible out there. People will come to you asking for the Word of God. Another outreach, which is probably a good idea for churches, is one that we use at universities. It's called the Be Educated Outreach. And we call it the Be Educated Outreach because we're playing off a couple of quotes from atheists. And what we do is we get an A-frame sign. And we've had professionally printed two signs on either side of a quote from Christopher Hitchens, who was a leading atheist, and Richard Dawkins, who is currently a leading atheist. And both of them said something interesting. Come out for the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. They said, if you've never read the Bible, you're verging on the barbarian. Christopher Hitchens said, if you've never read the word of the Bible in English, you're not educated. So these are leading atheists saying that. So we'll set that up on campus and say, hey, free Bible, be educated. And people say, how dare you say I have to read the Bible to be educated? Well, we didn't say it. The atheist said it. And they go, oh, Hitch, Dawkins, I love them. Yeah, I'll take the Bible. And they will. They'll take it and they'll read it. It's amazing. These people read the Bible because the atheists would say so. So we'll hand them out saying, hey, read the book recommended by atheists, the Bible. And that stops people all the time because they're going, atheists recommend the Bible? But it's a great opportunity. And, you know, churches and individuals can do that. Get a couple of people together, get a box of Bibles and go out and say, hey, we just want people to be educated. Read the Bible yourself. Test it. Try and pull it apart if you want to. Examine it. Just read the Word of God. I know some Christians have said, oh, why would you encourage them to examine it? They might try and find errors. That's good. We have a secret weapon, the Holy Spirit. He takes the Word of God and he uses it. So while they're reading it, guess what? Many atheists have been converted. Another way we can do it is, quite simply, probably one of the oldest methods of Bible distribution, join Gideons. Can't speak highly enough of the Gideons. They do a wonderful job in putting the word of God into hotels, into hospitals, into the schools, just distributing the New Testaments. And eternity will testify how many millions have been converted through that simple outreach method. Now, time doesn't give us permission to go into all the different avenues, but there are many ways that we can take the word of God and distribute it. I would encourage you to think about how you can take the scripture and get it into people's hands. I would encourage you to find a way that you're comfortable with, something that you find natural, and just go and distribute the word of God. Do something for Jesus. Let me finish by giving you a quote by C.H. Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon said in regards to evangelism, these vital and pivotal words which should greatly impact us. If you have a pen and paper, you want to write down this quote. This quote will change your life forever. Spurgeon said these words in relation to evangelism. He said, do something, do something, do something. Pivotal. That's the truth. We must do something for the glory of Jesus, take his word, declare it to the nations, declare it to our community, and then we'll see many in heaven praising the Lamb for his great salvation. Shall we pray together? Our great and loving God, we thank you that you have given us the scripture, that you have spoken to us via your word. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and equip us for every good work. Lord, may we be faithful in taking your truth to those around about us. Lord, we pray for those who we know who aren't converted, those who do not yet know you. Lord, would you grant us boldness and courage to tell them of you? And Lord, may we put the Bible into their hands and may they read it and may you speak to them from it. And Lord, may faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. We pray all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.